We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 331. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media. Hey, bud.
Hey, how are you doing, man?
Been a little more settled in place?
I'm feeling better. It's been a rough week, though. I mean, some sad news this week. And hard to focus.
Yeah, our industry friend, colleague, Jordan Casteller, passed away last week, and it was a shock, obviously, to everyone.
Yeah.
This is Jordan, hard to get any words together for it.
I know. Jordan was a great guy. I mean, I've known him like as long as I've been going to conferences. He was young, too, 35 years old. But he's made a huge impact on this industry, and I think his passing has made yet another huge impact on this industry, because there's so many people that are outpouring of sympathy, outpouring of support. There's a GoFundMe page for his family. The goal is $25,000. I know they surpassed $20,000 in one day from people in our industry. And there's some groups been set up, some support groups to make sure that if anybody in the industry is dealing with depression or stress, that they have people to reach out to and contact. It's been a rough week, but there's been some good come out of it as well.
Yeah. None of it makes sense, but I'm glad there is some good that's come of it. And we're going to miss him. Yeah, he was always smiling, brilliant guy. Just a really good part of our industry. So there's a gap now for sure.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the show and you need any kind of support because you're going through depression or anything like that, on Facebook, there's a new group called SEO Buddies. It's a support group now. It was a private group when it first started, but they changed it to a support group. So go in there. A lot of people have been offering to help. So feel free to look us up.
Oh, it's no longer private?
I don't believe it is. I think she changed it to a support
only. We put a lot of personal info out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of personal info, and I'm sure it's members only. You have to request to be in there, but it's listed as a support group. It's called SEO Buddies.
Yeah. Well, there's not much to say. It's just a sad time.
Yeah.
Eric Ward this year, and then Jordan Casteller, and there's been another couple close calls.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get to some more positive news here. There has been an update to the Google Search Quality Rater guidelines. It was actually Well, why don't you tell the story? You were the one that did most of the research on this.
It was a little bouncing around for a while. So they published it, and then the next day it was gone, and then it got put back again. So a lot of people were like, what did they do? So but we know people that downloaded when it first came up. I'm absolutely sure somebody's going to download the new version, if it is a new version, and compare the two to see what they changed. But they did do some pretty good analysis the first time it was up. Jennifer Snake from the SEM Post always does a good job of analyzing these things and digging through them. And she's got a huge post on this. But I took some of her initial observations and one of her takeaways from the end. And there's just no way we have time to go through the entire thing on the show. Two big things that she really talked about in this analysis is they're really focusing on it used to be just website reputation, but now they've expanded it to be a website reputation of the website or creator of the main content. In their reputation research section, they changed it to reputation of the website and or the website creator of the main content. So they're not just looking at the like what your backlink profile would be for reputation now. They're actually the raiders themselves are looking at the people who write the content. It kind of reminds me of authorship a little bit, you know, trying to decide who wrote what and what their reputation is as part of an algorithm. Now they're having the quality raiders do it. So what do you think about the idea that authorship might be on its way back, Ross?
Well, maybe this is just a clue that it never really went away. It just went to a different place.
That's true, too.
And we always kind of wondered whether or not it was just in the background. They said it wasn't. But the fact that they're stating that authorship is so important is interesting. Or maybe they just came full circle and realized, well, I guess we're going to have to do this. And, you've got to think that they won't want them to, well, maybe they will, but they won't want them just to research an author every time. You'd think there'd be a database or something.
Yeah, or notes or reference material. They do have the ability to do that, I'm pretty sure.
I wonder if they use Bing to check up on the author's profiles. No.
they could, or maybe Badoo.
or Yandex. There we go.
Yeah, the Yandex.
Baidu is China. Yandex is Russia. Yeah,
exactly. But I thought that was interesting.
Started from last year.
That's one of the ones. The low quality section was expanded to include reputation as well. They've also added the concept of beneficial purpose to the guidelines. So does the content have a beneficial purpose? What would the visitor to the site gain? Which is really interesting because, I've always thought the quality raters are kind of gathering human intelligence to apply to an algorithm, right? That's kind of how I always saw this group working.
Yeah.
And how are they going to take beneficial purpose and apply that to an algorithm? That has me really interested, actually. I can see how the quality raters could do that because they're human and they could actually decide if this has a benefit or not. How's an algorithm going to do that? It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be very difficult, give it a few more years. It's already pretty tough, but to understand how any of this algorithmic stuff works. I mean, we can guess certain things now, but mm-hmm. soon it's going to be, maybe it already is and we're just stupid, but maybe it'll be so convoluted. There'll be so many levels and layers that we're just going to have to do our best with what we know.
The other more tactical thing that she points out in the beginning before she really breaks into the details is there's a new emphasis on page titles, specifically targeting clickbait style titles, sensationalized tabloids style, the kind of stuff you use basically to get people to click that aren't really reflective of what the actual page is. There was a bigger emphasis on that in these guidelines, so that lends me to think that a lot of the stuff around clickbait and fake news and that kind of stuff is making its way into not only the guidelines, but eventually the algorithms as well.
Very cool.
But okay. I highly recommend, if you haven't yet, go to the SEM Post, look up her article on Google Search Quality Rater Guidelines. and read it. It's long. It'll take you some time, but there's a lot of valuable information in there.
Yeah, just a peek into what Google's thinking, at least what they want us to see. You post it. So, but, you know, it is in their best interest for us to understand what quality is, too, though. Sad that we need to know, but we do sometimes.
Yep. Yes, we do.
For the wider public, anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is interesting. This is a post about from Barry Schwartz on Search Roundtable. Dr. Pete Myers from Moz posted about this first on Twitter, saying there was a 34% increase in searches or clicks on what people also ask. So when you do a search, you'll get some results. And then there's people also ask in a box below with different searches as well.
Sometimes it's at the top, sometimes it's in the middle. It does change places.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently 43% of all SERPs in the MozCast data shows the feature. So it's actually not clicks on it, pardon me. It's just that there's an increase of it showing up.
Yeah, and that was a huge jump in like a single day. And if you look at the charts, in the MozCast charts, it was pretty steady, you know, around just a little bit above 30%, between 30 and, you know, since the beginning of last month, 30 and 34%. And then just like this giant jump into the 43%. It was just like this immediate impact.
Someone at Google likes it. I think it's a great it's a great keyword tool. I mean, it gives you an idea of what people are truly searching for, and perhaps some idea of the semantic relationships that Google sees.
I've been using it a lot in research targeting Google Voice, because, you know, when you think about, they're wanting to, people ask questions to the Google Voice, and these are the kind of questions that Google thinks they're asking, and they haven't told us there's a direct connection between that yet, but you know there's got to be at least one. And one of the great things about people also ask to me is it's infinite, right? So it starts out with like four or five questions, but as soon as you click on one of those questions and it opens up to show you the answer, it adds three or four more questions to the bottom related to the one you clicked. You click a different one, it adds three or four more. So it keeps adding them based on the one you just clicked. So there's a ton of information in that people also ask box. It's a little hard to get to because it takes some work, but if you put the time in, it's a good tool to look and understand search behavior.
Right. Okay, good. Cool. So the next bit here is interesting. We're actually going to have Dwayne Forrester on soon. We have to set up that date, but Dwayne is, what is his formal position? Is it?
He's the, It's a weird one. It's like
Yext, but.
Yeah, it's Yext. It's like vice president of going around talking to people, or I don't remember. But it's an interesting one.
He's the VP of Industry Insights with Yext.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So Dwayne's going to come on fairly soon in one of our upcoming episodes. But the reason I bring that up is that Yext, this is an article on Search Engine Land, but Yext integrates local business listings directly into Amazon Alexa. Now, this is important because in the past, they had to go through Yelp to get into there. But now they have a direct port into Alexa. So this means if you use Yext to submit your business, I'm not a big proponent of service, but if you do use them, you will get ported into Amazon Alexa. Whether or not that's an extra fee, I have no idea.
So does Yext, see, that, this kind of confused me when I first read it, because it's like Amazon Alexa is looking at the Yext database. But Yext really, its primary function is to aggregate and push out your local business data to other platforms like Yelp or Google My Business. So I'm wondering, you know, if Yext is actually looking to compete with a Yelp, to compete with those directories now as well, instead of just, you know, aggregating, pushing the data out and consistently across all those platforms.
Who knows? But I mean, I do know that I expect anyway that there's a benefit to not having a third party or a middleman. So now they go directly to Amazon. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, it's definitely something we can ask Dwayne.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out more about it.
But there's actually a related piece to that too, because it's about there's a new structured data for publishers that's tied to speakable content. So you can put schema code, structured data around a piece of code and say, this is speakable, which means, again, it's targeting voice search to letting you know this is the content on the page that you can, you know, use an automated, what are they called? Computer? No, you know what I'm talking about. I can't remember those. Yeah, those computer things. We're going to find a use for them someday. no, it's it allows the what is it I'm thinking of?
Wavelength.
It's the annotated voice. There's a name for it. The actual kind
speech.
Of. Text-to-speech, but that's a good description. I'm thinking of something different, but that'll work for now. So it enables text-to-speech. It tells the engines, it tells Alexa, it tells Google Home, you know, what parts of a page they can actually convert to voice electronically, which is really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, they're saying here that there are between 40 and 50 million smart speakers in the U.S. homes today, So that's... And that's, of course, growing quickly.
Very quickly. And many homes have more than one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is going to be a very interesting predicament for businesses trying to market in there. We've talked about it before, but there's no quick answer on what works and what doesn't. But there certainly is some testing out there. Lots of testing being done. I have no doubt about that. But not a lot of it's revealed yet. So, all right. Well, let's take a quick break and we come back. We've got lots more news to share.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and the WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content
hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing,
thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But...
WebmasterRadio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So, I thought this was kind of cute. I guess you've already done the annotations bit, so I'll jump past that. Google to stop supporting public URL submissions. Whoa. So people who were going to the submit URL page will no longer find it. It is now just all wrapped up nicely into Google Search Console. So yes, there technically is something. But to quote them, we continue to welcome your submissions using the usual tool in Search Console and through sitemaps directly, unquote. Just another step in the right direction, really.
Yeah, but they actually did put a little bit of limitation on the fetch URL tool in Search Console. I think, unless they removed it, because I didn't see it last time I was in there, but they gave you like a certain number of fetches you could do per day or a week or something. Some people were just slamming that tool with just trying to get their pages crawled for no other reason.
I'm shocked. But, you know, if there's an advantage, I'm surprised anyone took it. Wow.
Yeah. But you know, you tell people, Ross, I'm sure you know the best way to get your pages indexed.
Yeah, get it found naturally.
Exactly. Get people to link to it.
If you have to use a submission tool or you have to use sitemaps, then, you know, it's not high performing content. And it's not likely to get as much interest.
Yeah, if you have to use it to submit your get your page indexed, you can. Yes, that tool has a bunch of great uses. I had a tool. I had just this week. I had a page on a client's site that they actually changed domains, and the old version of the page and the new version of the page. You know, the old version of the page 301 directed to the new version of the page like it was supposed to. Google decided that the new site. Its actual canonical URL was the old version of the page, which was 301 redirecting. The new version did not have a canonical tag. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Google has a canonical version of a page for every single page in its index, whether you're using a canonical tag or not. Well, we were able, through the new version of the Search Console, there's a thing that will let you look at individual pages. And you can look at that individual page, and it showed us that it had picked the canonical version of the page to put in the index, not that page. Well, the canonical was the old domain. You go to the old domain, you do the same thing, and it says, this page was blocked by robots.txt, even though it wasn't, right? So they had really screwed up the way this individual page was supposed to be indexed. Went in, fetched both of them with in Search Console with fetch to get them re-indexed. Within 24 hours, they were both doing exactly what they were supposed to do.
Excellent.
So it works if you need it to do things like that, but it's not really supposed to be used as, I want to get my page in the index.
Nice work. It sounds like you earned your pay that day.
Yes, I did.
Or one of your coworkers, anyway.
Yeah. No, that was me. I will take credit for that one.
Oh, and I love this next one. First of all, this is the Mueller files, and word count isn't indicative of quality. Okay, so you put it down, you go for it.
So there was a question asked.
There's nothing left to say.
Yeah, well, there is actually. There was a question asked about this on Twitter, and people were asking, you know, word count. You know, we see a lot of stuff about word count, how many longer pages of better quality. John Mueller basically said, you know, word count is not indicative of quality. Some people have a lot of words and say nothing. Some pages have very few words that are very important and relative to search queries. So not indicative of quality, which is great. However, doesn't really kind of jive with a lot of the tests that I've seen over the past year or so, where they look at, you know, here's 500 keywords. We analyzed the research results for these 500 keywords. We did word counts for all 10 listings on the first page of all 500 keywords. The average word count, I think the last one I saw was like 1,500 words. You know, those kind of things. Nobody in there in this thing ever talks about what does long mean. Right. What does long form mean versus short form? That's changed over the years. I mean, if you have a page with 200 or 300 words of content, a few years ago, you could probably get away with that pretty easily. Now, I don't know if you can get away with that. You might need 500. So I think the idea of what's long and what's short has changed over the years. And nowhere in this conversation did they even mention what do they consider long or what do they consider short.
Well, and the fact is, short doesn't mean bad. Right. It can still rank well. If it answers the question appropriately, well, fine, it can rank. It's about providing value, quality, and the length is really only reliant on that. If you need to be long, because that's how long it takes to get the right answer or provide the right answer, go for it. Try not to be long-winded about it. You want people to read it, include lots of imagery, any media of any kind. And it does help the page get a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Provide multiple options for people who learn differently. You know, one's video, one's imagery, one's just text. This is the ideal, right? I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think John's point was more to the idea that you don't want to write long content just to have long content. You don't want to put a lot of fluff on a page that doesn't really mean anything or tie into what the topic of the page is just to have long content. You need to have good, valuable content throughout the page.
If you add too much content, you will insult Barry. He says here, in fact,
yes.
Someone adds a huge amount of fluff to their content.
Yes.
Wow. I'd be insulted a lot then. There's a lot of that out there.
Yeah, there is a ton of that out there.
Oh, dear. Well, it was certainly worth the post. I mean, some people really need this. Need to know this. I guess we'll leave it at that.
This next one actually kind of ties into the story I just told.
Okay, fire away.
Yeah. So Google has, John Mueller, in one of his many forms of communications, says having Rail canonical doesn't guarantee Google picks up that page as it's canonical, right? So as we just said a minute ago, every page in the index has a canonical, whether you have Rail equals canonical or not. So they have ways to determine canonical pages outside of your canonical tag. So the canonical tag is only one of the pieces they use to make that decision. And he says, just because you put a page in the canonical tag doesn't mean that's the one they're going to use. Just like if you don't have a canonical tag, they are going to pick one anyway, right? So again, just as with Google and many of the things they do, that canonical tag is a recommendation. It's not a guarantee.
Excellent. Okay, well, it's time for another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the heading tag.
Ooh, H1 tags? Right.
This is awesome stuff.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.FM and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
WebmasterRadio.fm. Keep your headphones handy and the feed loaded. We never stop, do you?
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. The heading tag. Oh, it's everything. Everything. You don't need anything else. Just make sure it's well optimized. Right? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, everything. So I put this in here because there's been confusion, and I've run across this a number of times over the past year or so, and people are referring back to a study that Moz did a few years ago. I should probably find the study and link to it.
Quite a long time ago.
See if they still have it up. But they did a study, and they attempted and said that they proved that the H1 and the H tags in HTML aren't really a ranking factor anymore. That putting content in an H1 or putting targeted terms in an H1 doesn't really have any impact. And so a lot of people were saying, well, H1s don't matter anymore. And Google came out and said very specifically, John Mueller said, let's see if I can get the actual quote from his tweet or whatever. I would, except my computer's dying. Okay, well, there we go. He said, he said a lot of stuff.
So basically, if you've been using them properly, I would definitely keep them there. And it's something kind of, I don't know, like a really small and soft factor when it comes to understanding pages a bit better, unquote.
Okay. So they use it. It's not a huge ranking factor, but it's not used like a lot of people believe.
So it is a ranking factor. It's just a small one.
Yeah. Just like a lot, there's dozens and dozens of small ones, alt attributes on images, that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't put it, if people used to make it almost as significant as a title tag, where it's not.
And in these days, people, our listeners, if you've been listening a long time, you know that just using the keyword everywhere isn't going to be getting you the rankings. It's it's creating, well, first of all, quality content. Then that content just simply states, I don't know, it reiterates the context, right? There's a context to the article. Google can now figure that out. And if there's other forms of the phrase, anything that's relevant to it, anyway, they don't really need that clarity anymore. They're not stupid.
Kind of as a throwback to earlier in the show, if they can figure out how to algorithmically determine if an article is beneficial or not, they can know the difference between whether a H1 tag helps or not.
Yeah. And I stand by heading tags. I use them all the time. I love them mostly because it's an easy way to format a page. And it makes, natural human sense to have a topic title next to a section of the page. And generally they do have notable keywords in them because they're describing what it's about. There's not much more to it.
Agreed.
Now, this is interesting. I did fly by this the other day. I thought, I never use it for that anyway. But Google, don't rely on Google Tag Manager for structured data. I thought it was interesting. I mean, I can imagine why people use Google Tag Manager to try and do this. Anything that might speed up their day, speed up their work and such. But I would never do that.
I understand in some cases you have to do that because you might be using some kind of platform like, one of those hosted website companies do, and they might not give you access to go in and add structured data to the source code, but they will let you put Tag Manager on. So maybe the only option you have available to put structured data is through Tag Manager. I get that. And that's why I think he says it shouldn't be your primary way to integrate structured data, because some people, that's the only way they have to integrate it. But if you have the option to edit the code and add it directly, definitely do that. Don't use Tag Manager unless that's your only option.
Great. Yeah, and for those who don't know, Google Tag Manager is a very cool tool. I don't know how many years ago it was released, quite a few now. 6 years ago, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has. It's really only been heavily adopted by people outside our industry, I think, over the last 3, maybe, if that. But it's a great way. You essentially just add a piece of code to pages, to a template, and once you've done that, you can then go to Google Tag Manager on a separate website and add code to your pages within your website without having to go to your website and edit it.
It's primarily used for people who are doing a lot of advertising. And when you're doing advertising and you're using different platforms, you have to put those pixels on the page to track that advertising. So instead of having to log in every time to add or update pixels, they'll just go into Tag Manager. They don't have to put anything on the website because Tag Manager is already there. They just have to edit it in that third-party platform like Russ was talking about, and it goes onto the site. So it makes it much simpler if you're doing a lot of different advertising and using a lot of platforms to do it.
This one's good.
This was hilarious.
Debunking SEO theories and myths is not scalable. This is a classic Mueller. I love it. There's a bit of tongue in cheek going on here, but essentially someone said, hey, here's a great theory we'd love for you to debunk. This guy by the name of Dijon SEO said this and says, I got one for you. Would love to hear what you think of that article. And John responds, ha, nice post. It's not really scalable for us to confirm or deny all the details in the world's blog posts about Google search. Sorry.
Well, then this is also on the tale of Gary Yeesh, who recently tweeted talking about how SEOs will make up theories to fit their own agenda. Mm-hmm. And not really based on anything other than their agenda, which is they kind of relate, because there are SEOs that do that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I've had to debunk a few misconceptions in forums and Facebook groups recently, actually. There's a number of them. So it's happening more and more. So maybe that's why they're talking about it more and more.
They come in cycles too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I haven't heard this one in a while.
That's true. we're about due for an SEO's dead cycle, aren't we?
Oh dear God, you're right. That was just coming to me too, thinking, oh, not that again.
Yeah.
Remember that used to actually work as clickbait? Now it's just like, oh, I don't even want to talk to you.
Now it's more comedy than it is clickbait.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good point from John. You know, we're not going to debunk everything. Good luck. Mm-hmm. Not only is it useless for them to do it, it's no benefit, unless it's coming from someone who's very authoritative.
And it's actually advantageous for them not to debunk all that stuff, because if people start trying to use things that are just dumb, it actually helps clear out the crud in the index, right? Because if they're using this stuff, it's obviously not going to work as well as the real, you know, tactics that make sense. And so a lot of that stuff that's subpar won't even show up in the index.
Yeah. Well, that was the end of the stories, but my other story right now is that I'm moving our office, and it is not much fun. Not that I expected it to be. I really shouldn't have. But holy cow, my office, personal office, is not even really packed up. I've got a couple things packed, but wow, I've got so much to do this weekend. We're moving Monday morning.
How many rooms is that? How much stuff do you have to move?
Well, I'm fortunate. Everyone else is handling their own space. It's not bad. We really don't have that much stuff.
So it's just you being lazy, not wanting to pack your stuff up, is what you're saying?
No, it's me keeping the company while they're working on packing and doing podcasts.
Gotcha.
But it'll be nice. It's going to be a nice new office space, and I'm spending the weekend getting my on-cue media panel set up in the office. And
oh, wow.
It's going to be a little nerddom. I'm looking forward to a bit of that. But we'll see how that goes.
Are you setting up a new virtual reality room so you can get, you know, like hang out in the VR space too?
My room is the VR room. Oh,
so basically it's just for you.
Well, the one that is portable, I love, and I want to get. I would switch my Oculus. I would trade my Oculus in for another Samsung Odyssey. I love that headset. It doesn't require any of the sensors, and I can plug it into my laptop, no problem, runs like a beauty, whereas the Oculus requires a powerful beast of a computer. It has cables everywhere, including I've got three sensors I've got hooked up. It does a great job, don't be wrong, but it's just too unwieldy, and you can't take it to places. This other one I can take with me to parties, and people just go crazy. They love it.
Oh, parties, man, I miss those.
Maybe I'll bring it with me when I come out.
Hey, you should. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well,
do you want to tease that? Do you want to tease that trip, by the way?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I should actually get my flight in order. But yes, John and I are going to be interviewing, doing some roving interviews at Content Marketing World in September. So anyone, and that's in Ohio, in John's backyard. So I get to go and visit. Yeah. Yay!
And we'll try to do a show from there too, won't we?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Well, we may be hungover, so I warn you. But I haven't seen John in years.
You're being nice with the May.
True. Gotta put that new house to good use. I can't wait to see it and hang out.
Exactly. Plus, I got a very old bottle of rum that I have not cracked yet that I'm only going to crack once you get here.
Aw, you were going to open it for your housewarming, you said.
Well, I decided to wait for you since you were coming out.
That's great. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Step Forth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, thank you for joining us today. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.